KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo. We heard our first response from a California Republican about the firing of FBI Director James Comey. Came from House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy last night in San Francisco. KQED's senior editor for politics and government, Scott Schaefer, was there.
It was a standing-room-only crowd at the San Francisco headquarters of the ride-hailing company Lyft. To break the ice, McCarthy said he voted for Trump and then asked a question.
Anybody in here vote for him besides me?
Not a single hand went up.
So I'm going to take it you might have a different philosophical place than I am.
Dressed casually in blue jeans with no tie, McCarthy tried to convince the crowd of mostly young tech workers to embrace Trump.
He is not philosophically bent to the far right. He is a disruptor. All of you work for businesses that are disruptors.
Disruptors like Airbnb, which co-sponsored the event with Politico. McCarthy also defended Trump's controversial firing of FBI Director James Comey, saying Democrats and Republicans had lost faith in the agency.
When the FBI director thinks he becomes also the attorney general and the prosecutor, he's probably overstepped. I would argue that Comey made FBI political, and that's probably not the place to be.
McCarthy said immigration reform will happen sooner rather than later, and he signaled that people brought here illegally as kids, the so-called dreamers, will be protected.
So if you were brought here under the age of 18, I think you have a path to be able to go forward. If you came here over the age of 18 and you broke some major felony, I think you need to depart.
Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell also attended the event and said afterwards he'd like to take up McCarthy's offer to help protect immigrant families.
Actions speak louder than words. And if the majority leader is sympathetic, and I'll take him at his word that he is, we should put into law some of the protections that he would like to see. If they're serious about immigration reform, they will find Democrats, including me, that would like to work with them.
Asked about the seven Republican Congress members from California who are targeted for defeat by Democrats, McCarthy said he wasn't too worried about it.
Those are the same that they said in the last campaign and they won. Those are the same ones who carried their districts, but the presidential race went different. The Democrats want to focus on it. They focus on it every time. But these members represent their districts.
It's unlikely McCarthy converted many in the crowd to his cause, but some seem to appreciate that he showed up to make his case. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
Also making their case today, Governor Jerry Brown. He's set to release an updated budget this morning. KQED's Guy Marzorati reports.
It doesn't look like California will have much of a cash windfall on its hands. The state controller announced yesterday that tax revenues are coming in $211 million below January's budget estimates. So don't expect Governor Jerry Brown to take the stage today and walk back the budget cuts he proposed at the beginning of the year. Legislative Democrats were particularly upset with the plan to end the middle-class scholarship program and freeze increases in state preschool slots. Lawmakers and the governor will also have to come to an agreement on how much the state should pay towards in-home care for elderly and disabled Californians. For the California Report, I'm Guy Marzorati in Sacramento.
So here where I live in San Francisco, the city recently passed a soda tax of 1 penny per ounce, and two other Bay Area cities did the same. But to fight it, soda bottlers poured a ton of money against these tax campaigns, and that's not particularly surprising. What is surprising is that researchers at campaign finance group MapLight.org looked at which California lawmakers are getting money from Big Soda, if you will, and MapLight found one particular group benefited more than the others. KQED's Marisa Lagos joins us now. And Marisa, what's the deal here? Which group is getting the money?
So this is actually the fifth bill that we've seen come up in the state legislature in recent years to try to do what San Francisco and other cities have done, this 2 penny per ounce tax on sugar sweetened beverages. MapLight.org, which is like a campaign finance kind of sunshine organization, took a look at, in the last cycle, what kinds of contributions this industry made to lawmakers. And what they found was that while overall they gave around $300,000 sort of across the board, they really zeroed in on the Latino caucus. These are all Democrats in the state legislature who make up about 23% of the state legislature, but receive 42% of soda industry contributions in 2015 and 2016.
Now, there are a lot of Latinos at the state assembly and the state Senate. Is it just a coincidence that
Latinos were picked to be given this money?
MapLight doesn't think so. They point out that the industry gave on average over two times as much to health committee members that voted against or abstained on the proposed tax, and that three of those were Latino caucus members who abstained, and they got almost $16,000 from this industry. So a lot more than the average of around $2,700. I mean, it is important to put this in context. We're talking about members, you know, that raised over $1 million in the last cycle. So this isn't a huge amount of money. But I asked Alex Saslow at MapLight what stood out to them. And this is what he had to say.
What's interesting to us is that the contribution pattern underscores a larger systemic problem, which is essentially the outsized influence of corporations and wealthy donors in funding elections.
What I'm interested in, though, is I remember other junk foods, for example, Flaming Hot Cheetos, Takis. These are products that are basically empty calories, according to many health advocates, and they're targeted towards minority populations. These are minority populations that don't have many supermarkets in their area, so-called food deserts. And I'm curious if somehow what your reporting is showing is a confluence of this idea that they are targeting minority lawmakers who represent people who live in food deserts.
I did reach out to the American Beverage Association. I didn't hear back from them. I also didn't hear back from any of these lawmakers about whether this influenced their votes. And I think that it's just something to keep an eye on. This year's soda tax proposal has already been, quote, tabled for study, whatever that means. So I think
that means they don't want to touch it.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
both know what that means.
And what's really interesting to me here is that they went after this one caucus more dramatically than any other group of lawmakers.
You started laughing when I said Flaming Hot Cheetos. Do you have a story about that?
I just like Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Marisa Lagos of KQED's Government and Politics Desk. Marisa, thank you.
Always a pleasure, John.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, the website that shows all financial accounts in one place and helps plan for retirement. PersonalCapital.com. Barracuda Networks, cloud-ready firewalls engineered for today's next-generation business networks. Learn more at barracuda.com/cloud-ready. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected, on the web at theschmidt.org.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, May 11th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day.